Welcome to Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And today we're going to hear the conclusion of our program, Dealing with Deployment. Over the past two broadcasts, we've been hearing about the life experiences of three amazing military families who have not only navigated but succeeded in serving our country while also keeping their families intact. We have a lot to cover and only one more day to do so, so let's continue the conclusion of our program now. Here is my dad, Dr. James Dobson, as he interviews Matthew and Ariel Holcomb, Jonathan and Beth Dowdy, and Adam and Hadassah Stoll on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I would really like to know what closing thought you have about this subject and what you came here hoping you would have a chance to say. And Beth, we're going to start with you and put you on the spot a little bit. You said something that I would like you to repeat.
Okay, well, you had asked about what we'd like people to pray for, and of course we want people to pray, but I think the things that are challenging to the military life and the culture are challenging in our general culture, and I think I've seen a lot of Christians seeing things happen that they don't like or directions politically that maybe they don't agree with, and so I guess what would help us feel supported is to other Christians to vote and to vote for responsible leaders and to act and to speak up and to get involved in things that they know are wrong, and so that the church is not to be silent in the United States.
Boy, that is well said. And, you know, every national election that we have, there are literally millions of people who won't give 15 minutes of their lives to go out and let their voices be heard and to influence the system. Abraham Lincoln said, this is the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that did not mean of the people, by the people, and for the people, except those of faith.
Yes.
We have a right to be heard. We have a right to let our voices be recognized in the culture. And I regret that many Christians think, well, I can't talk about that. I can't talk about religious. I can't talk about politics. And I understand, Adam, that in the military there are restrictions, and that's different. But there are an awful lot of the rest of us who are silent when we ought to be speaking up about the meaning of marriage, the definition of marriage, what it has been for the thousands of years. I mean, this goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and you know, the Creator said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That was the beginning of the family, and it's changing now in this culture. And if you disagree with that, you ought to stand up and say so. And there are many other things, that abortion and the sanctity of life and other things. So, Beth, what you said is true, that it's not just a military problem. It is a cultural phenomenon. And we really do need to be salt and light in the culture. Jonathan, take your last shot.
I think your audience listening to this, there's going to be parents of younger people who are considering joining the military, and there's going to be younger people considering joining the military who are Christians. They've seen all the things that have happened in the culture and how things have changed within the military. They've heard us talk about some of the challenges of it, and they're like, they're probably going to wonder whether or not it's a good idea for a Christian to join the military. And I would encourage them to do so. I think the military needs more Christians in it. And I think that the Christians who are in the military need to do a better job of living our faith boldly. And I think that will both set the culture, and that will reinforce that will support each other in the military culture, and that will actually improve the military as a whole. And I think that strength and that courage will enable us to support each other, and will improve the military, and will improve the Christian faith within the military.
You do not regret the 15 years you've spent in the military?
Not at all. Not at all. And I'd do it again. It often sounds like, you know, we have all these negative things to say, but God sends us out into the world. And there are some negative things that we need to deal with, but there are also some positive things, and we need to be out there doing God's work wherever it is He would have us to be. God needs, you know, businessmen. He needs politicians. He needs people hauling the trash away. And he needs Christians in the military representing him, being ambassadors for him while we are in uniform. Mm. And you asked earlier what we would have people pray for us about. And we kind of gave the easy ones, you know, the pilots around the room talking about our service in the country. And we've all seen bumper stickers, pray for our troops. I would ask that people, okay, yeah, that's great, but pray for my wife and pray for my children. Mm-hmm. Because when I deploy, they're the ones, she's the one that has to deal with that. When we move from state to state, she's the one that has to deal with that. When I express my faith in the military, she was personally attacked as a result of that. So she has to deal with everything that I deal with. People tend to look at the person in uniform and focus on the person in uniform, but she gets it just as much as I do. So that's what I would say. Pray for my wife, pray for my children as they live the same life I'm leading, even if I'm the one that people look at sometimes.
Oh, my. That needed to be said. Ariel, your perspectives.
Well, I'm just, as we're sitting here talking about this and we're talking about the pressures that we face as military families, I'm reminded that our culture is putting a huge amount of pressure on the family as a unit, as a thing. And in the military, I feel like it's kind of amplified, and that pressure comes faster and harder. It's just the problems in families are brought out much more quickly than they are in the culture. But I think it's a nationwide problem, and I just would like to see military members go through the hard times and stick with their families and realize that the family is what everything else is based on. Without a strong family unit, everything else will fall. And so I just pray that for our whole nation, that that the work that you do will continue, and that we will be a part of that in our own communities, and that we will work to strengthen the families that we come in contact, and hopefully be a light to those other families. Because all families in America are under pressure. I think the military families, like I said, it's accelerated, and I think you see families disintegrate much more quickly than in a normal situation. You know, thinking about the deployments, I'm surprised that this didn't come up. Probably the most difficult thing that I feel like I deal with is the loneliness. Just being alone for so many hours on end and going to bed alone every night. And I know that there are many single parents who are alone, and there are many people who are alone forever. But there's something different about knowing that you have someone that's not there with you, and feeling that separation from your spouse, from the one who's supposed to be one from you. It's painful.
Listen, I can understand that. I was off on a mission just last weekend. I was doing some academic work, and I was gone for 4 days.
And missed your wife, and she missed you.
I missed Shirley, and she missed me.
That's the thing. We miss each other, and we're blessed in many ways with the communication, and we're blessed in so many ways. But the ultimate fact still remains is that it is hard, and we do sacrifice. However, it's a sacrifice that we make willingly and that we're proud of and we are proud to do, because it means something. I mean, this country means something, and it's valuable to us. And so as wives, I think we stand through the tough things, and we do it. We do it gladly.
You really do love the Lord, don't you?
Oh, I do. I do. And He loves me. He's just shown me through getting to meet you. Oh, you mentioned last night that you were able to spend a night on the Enterprise.
Yes.
And that it was a very wonderful experience for you to hear the planes come in, the jets come in and trap and land above your room, and that you were moved to tears. And I want you to know that your words about the family and about your commitment to your own family, especially, I'm specifically speaking about the broadcast where the letter that you wrote to Shirley on your 54th anniversary, when you read that, I was in the kitchen. Matt was deployed. I was in the kitchen listening to that, and I literally fell to my knees in tears just thanking God for you and what you do for families, that example of love for your wife. And I thanked Him that I have a marriage like that, that He's been so good to me to give me this man who I feel just that way about Him.
Thank you, Ariel. Okay, Matthew, you're next.
Oh, I would just like to encourage the men and women in the military by saying this. I mean, there are a lot of Christians in this nation and in the military, probably the majority still. And if if we would just live according to how God calls us, I think it would be a different country. I think it's in Isaiah where God says, stop regarding man whose nostrils is but breath, of what account is he? And I think we make a lot of decisions based on the approval of man, the approval of our peers. And I would just encourage the men and women in the military to stand up for what they believe, for what they know is right, to do the right things with their families, to speak the truth and love to the to the men and women that they're in charge of, and to live like Jonathan was saying, to live in a way that would make people realize that there is something different about them. And I think if we did that as a Christian nation, that things would be different.
I'll ask you the same question I asked him. Do you regret spending a career in the military?
Not at all. It was a great decision. I'm really glad that I did it. I loved it. I have grown spiritually, more spiritually in the military than anywhere else, and certainly been a lot of struggles, but it's been a great blessing. I would do it again.
Okay, Hadassah, what is your final thought?
Well, I would have to say when Adam was deployed, I got very self-centered. You kind of just, I don't know if the other ladies are like this, but
no,
I would just kind of...
Woe is me. Oh.
Well, you just kind of survive each day. You stop cooking. You go to Chick-fil-A a lot more.
That's one of Finn's first words.
Chick-fil-A!
And you just focus more on yourself. At least I did. So I'll just speak for myself. You focus more on getting through each day and just surviving rather than thriving really in that situation. And I think my encouragement, both encouragement and prayer request, I guess, for myself, because I don't do this well, but to just take those type of situations, take those opportunities where we can be that light to the world. We have an opportunity to just reach out to people and still be Christ's light to the world. And we take that opportunity and use it rather than just becoming more self-centered and making it through each day. Adam left 2 weeks ago for training out in Kansas, and I was left to finish packing up the house with the three kids and listing the house. And,
so you're moving again.
Yes, we are. So it was a big transition and a lot of work, and he had done a lot of it before he left, but there were just still a lot of loose ends to tie up. And I just got into this mode of like, okay, nothing matters but just the absolute necessities of life. And I even get to the point where, you know, good child rearing isn't really even top priority, which is sad. I just like, okay, if they have food in their mouths and they're not, you know, hurt, then it's good enough. And it's just not a good way to live.
Now, you know better than that, don't
that's
you?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. In fact, I have a confession. I was rereading and some of it reading for the first time, Dare to Discipline, on the way here on the plane trip here.
Where are you?
Just doing some catch-up reading. And it was so inspiring. I mean, everything that you said is so inspiring, and it made me want to start doing it right, you know, to kind of...
You know, nobody does it perfectly, the least of all me.
Well, I feel like you're a lot closer. Anyway, I think that's what I would have to say.
I bet the truth of the matter is you're a great mom.
She is a great mom.
I'll beg your indulgence.
I thought you'd jump in on this.
She's being very modest. You know, her entire focus, like, changed when she became a mom. She was already a phenomenal person and recognized as such, and she had a heart for the Lord. And then, you know, the amount of growing up that she has done in that period of time has left me far behind, grasping at straws. 6 years her senior, there's maturity things that I should have had, you know, a handle on. And I found myself racing to keep up with my wife and the whole, like, becoming an adult world. So she's done a phenomenal job as a mother and as a wife. And I'm having a hard time being quiet over here. She's downplaying her own mother.
Well, I can see that. He says why I interrupted her. Adam, I ask you the question I asked the other two guys here. Would you, if you had it to live over again, have made a career out of the military.
Whether or not I'm going to stay in for the 20 or not, the jury's still out. We're talking about that as far as a career. But the last 8 years, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, without any doubt.
And if you have a son who grows up, or a daughter, and asks you about a life in the military, what would you say?
This is going to be not be a short conversation with him. I'm not going to try and dissuade him. I would encourage him, and I'd be encouraged by, you know, if his heart is wanting to serve in that regard. I would want him to do it because he feels like, or she, you know, they feel like this is the direction the Lord is calling them, and they have their own convictions and their own desire, and not this is a place where I wouldn't want him to follow in my footsteps, just to follow in my footsteps.
Yes,
that's not going to carry him through the tough times. So yes, absolutely, I would encourage him to do so, but I would want to measure my words carefully. I don't want him just blindly following my footsteps this direction.
Okay, well, we will conclude by a question to the three women. And I'm not talking about your husbands. I'm talking about you as a 19-year-old, we'll say. Would you choose to marry a military man next time? There will be no next time, but if you were living it over.
If it's this guy.
Yeah.
If it's this guy, yeah. You would do it again.
I would. I feel like God really prepared me for the military life. Just my personality, it is very fitting for it. I'm really antsy, and I like to move around. And I'm very patriotic. I have a passion for it. And in Indiana, there's not a huge military presence, and that's where I'm from. But for some reason, right before I met Adam, I just remember a few times I was listening to a conservative talk show host that every once in a while he would get very passionate about military families and so on. And I think several times he brought up, you know, homecomings and different emotional things. And I was just like in tears. And I'm not a crier. I'm not really super emotional. But I just felt like God was preparing me to meet Adam and live this life with him. I love it. I mean, there are a lot of hard things. I mean, it's not all sunshine and lollipops for sure, but it's a lot of fun, though,
life is not sunshine and roses.
That's right. I mean, we lose our husband for 6 months, but he loves us and he loves God, and he is a huge stability for us, even when he's away. Single parents don't have that, you know, and so we are really blessed. I mean, especially us in this room. I mean, we have great husbands. At least mine's pretty awesome.
Okay, Ariel.
That's a tough question. I would do it again, but it would be a hard decision for me to make. I love our life, and I love my husband, and I love the richness that this journey has brought to our lives, and how it's grown us in Christ. But it definitely hasn't been easy.
You didn't expect it to be, did you?
No.
In the beginning?
I didn't. But it's hard to explain.
It has not been easy for Shirley either.
I mean, I want to say just what Hadassah said, that I love it. But there are days that I don't. And I know there are days that you don't, too. She just has a positive attitude, and she's very laid back and easygoing. And she's right. Her personality, I mean, I know her well enough to say, her personality is perfect for this lifestyle, and that's why she is the perfect friend for me. And that's why I'm having such a hard time, because they're leaving me. I mean, my best friend is going across the world, and so my husband's about to leave for 3 months, and I don't have my best friend anymore. So things like that hurt a lot.
Yes.
But like Beth said, I know things like that happen in life, and I will say that without this military path, I wouldn't value that man as much as I do.
Yeah.
And that is a blessing from God, and I wouldn't be as close to the Lord. I would have never had that experience of the first deployment where I had nothing but him. That was a painful, hard experience, and I don't want to go back there again, but I'm grateful for it. I don't know if that answers it. So, yes, I would do it again. It would be a hard decision because I know what is asked, but the sacrifice is worth it. This country is worth it, and my family is worth it, and ultimately, the Lord is worth it.
What the three of you have said is that life is hard in the military, but it's hard everywhere.
Absolutely. If my husband had a 9-to-5, I remember before the military, we were married 2 years before the military, and it was the worst 2 years of our marriage. I mean, it was partly because we were newlyweds, and I mean, we're both firstborn children, and we're both kind of strong-willed. I don't know if you could tell that I might be strong-willed.
It shows.
So he had a little trouble with me, you know? I mean, we had our issues early in marriage, but he had a more regular schedule. He went to school during the day. He had a job after that. I had my first teaching job. We were kind of living your token American dream, I guess. But the absences make me value him so much more. And that's a gift I wouldn't have received if he worked at FedEx like I wanted him to. I always was like, why don't you apply at FedEx? And, you know, so it's been worth it. It's been worth it. And I would do it again.
Shirley and I would say something very similar, because Shirley's natural inclinations are to be a very private person.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
She is not one for the limelight.
And I know she said she likes order and predictability.
She likes all of that.
And I do
and
too.
She,
the unknown,
you know,
scares me.
Her ideal life would have been to have family around, mm-hmm. have them over for Sunday dinner, mm-hmm. do what we did with mm-hmm. you all last night, mm-hmm. and to live a very quiet life. We haven't lived that way.
Right.
It has been, a pretty fast pace right from the beginning. But God has used us, and Shirley has been willing to subvert what her natural inclinations are. Mm-hmm. And we've had a wonderful ride.
Yeah.
It's been a great trip.
I can identify with that very much. I mean, I feel like my natural inclinations would have been to stay in the same place and, you know, have the normal life, and that's so far from what I have, and it's challenging because I'm a little more of a controlling personality, and I like to know what's going on, but I mean, that's just not God's will, and He is, like you said about you and Shirley, what He has done with you here in Colorado Springs and what He's done with her and the lives that y'all have impacted has been a gift, and so hopefully that's what our lives will be.
God has His plan. When Danae had gone off to college, and Ryan was 2 years from leaving home to go to college, she would say to me, now, let me see. I know who you are. I'm not absolutely sure who I am. And what is my role? What does God want of me when I'm through with this mothering thing? And I said, I don't know, Shirley, but I think God's got a plan. And I think He will make it very clear. I'm telling you, on cue, when Ryan left to go to college, Vonette Bright, the wife of Dr. Bill Bright, said to her, I think you ought to be the chairman of the National Day of Prayer. I mean, it was just one thing right after another. And she said no. And the Lord said yes. And so she eventually agreed to it and said, Lord, I can do this for a year or two. And it's been 24 years now, and the Lord has used her. So I think we don't always know what we think the future is going to hold for us or what we ought to do with our lives. But the Lord knows, and if you're, you know,
His ways are higher than
Him,
ours, and He's demonstrated that multiple times in my life.
Yeah. Beth, and
I know
you talked
asked me about whether I'd do this again.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been trying to think of something pithy to say. You know, like having
this
conversation.
Like, oh, man, answer this question.
Yes, I would. I would. There are things that are challenging, but those things also draw me closer to God, and they are blessings, and they give me richness. I've gotten to meet people. I've gotten to go places. I've gotten to learn things that I wouldn't have otherwise. So of our children, I don't like ripping our kids up from their friends and their church to go to the new place and all of the adjustment, but, you know, God tells us to rejoice always. Why? Because it makes us invincible.
Yeah.
And I think as Christians, we should have the attitude that I'm ready to stay and I'm willing to go and in all things. So I hope I can live up to that.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your candor. Appreciate your coming and being willing to share your thoughts with our listeners. There'd be a lot of people out there who will identify with what you've had to say. Some of them in the military, some of them other challenges in life. And yeah, you've been very open and helpful to people. I'd like to stay in touch with you all. Let's see where it goes in the future. God's blessings to you all.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, I have so enjoyed these 3 days. I hope you have as well. And I hope that all of us look for opportunities to help our military moms and dads out there who are taking care of their families while their spouses are away on deployment. I know that I've been challenged by the broadcast to reach out, and I encourage everyone to think of ways they could serve those who are serving us. If you'd like more information about these families or how to help others deal with their deployment, contact us here at Family Talk by visiting our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another great edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.